I'm Josh Carey.
And I'm Chef Tom Jackson.
And you're listening to Cooking with Fire.
This week, we're going to jump into the world of Argentinian asado and the story of Chef Francis Mallmann.
Let's get started.
This is Cooking with Fire, a global exploration of barbecue from KMUW.
In my opinion, next to the U.S., Argentina has the most impressive barbecue culture in the world. Cooking with Fire is in their blood, and the techniques they have developed have inspired countless hours of experimentation in my own backyard.
My favorite aspect of asado, which is used as the name for both the event and the techniques of Argentinian barbecue, is how they utilize an open fire in different ways. First, you have the parrilla, which is the most iconic form of Argentinian barbecue. The parrilla is a grill which features a large cooking grate with V-shaped grooves that drain rendered fat into its tray at the front of the grate. To one side of the grate is a brasero, which is a large firebox where hardwood fire is burning. As the hot coals and embers drop down from the firebox, the cook takes a shovel and distributes them underneath the food.
Beyond the ability to easily control and maintain the heat and create a consistent bed of coals for even distribution, the appeal of this cooking method is also its rustic nature. You are taming a fire, working it as it burns, and utilizing it in a way that is very different from what we do here in the U.S. From the first time I saw a parrilla being used, I've been drawn to this cooking style.
Now, most of us aren't going to have a full parrilla in our backyard, so we'll break down the different ways you can utilize the tools you already have and mimic this cooking style.
But before that, I want to talk about Argentina's most famous chef and the man responsible for bringing the cooking methods of the gaucho to the mainstream. Chef Francis Mallmann. Francis Mallmann was born in Argentina in 1956 and moved with his family to the Patagonia region in 1958. Mallmann started his career as a cook on a local tour boat at the age of 14, and by the time he was 20, he was managing a restaurant with a partner. In his early 20s, Mallmann traveled to Paris, where he studied the art of classic French cooking.
After a couple of years, Mallmann returned to Argentina and opened a French restaurant, where he cooked for a wealthy clientele. He continued cooking his version of French fine dining for many years until he was invited to cook for the International Academy of Gastronomy in 1995.
He was asked to cook a meal with a South American theme, and in what I find to be an inspiring idea, thought to cook an entire meal from potatoes. 9 courses to be exact. So Mallmann and his team traveled to Germany from Argentina with 1,000 pounds of Peruvian potatoes. At this time, Francis Mallmann was 40 years old and his entire world was about to change. The dinner was a hit and he received high marks for the meal from the members of the IAG. This triggered something in him, and when he returned to Argentina, he returned not to continue on his current path, but instead decided to return to the roots of his Andean culture, which, as he puts it, was cooking with fire and cast iron.
Since that time, Mallmann has opened multiple restaurants across Argentina as well as one in Miami, Florida. The thing that ties all of his restaurants together is their use of fire and the traditional techniques of the gaucho. The gaucho is Argentina's equivalent to our cowboy. They drive the cattle and work on the open range, which means their life, especially in the winter, revolves around fire. The cooking techniques used by the gaucho may seem primitive, but it's the skill needed to work a fire and cook a lamb without a ton of modern cooking tools that is so impressive.
As Mallmann notes in his book, Seven Fires, since that day in Germany in 1995, a fire has been burning essentially everywhere he goes, from his home to beach cookouts to his restaurants. He brings a passion to fire that few chefs have, and it is more than just a source of heat for cooking, but a source of inspiration for both the dishes he cooks and how he thinks about cooking. This is a perfect time to get into our recipe today. We are cooking tornados wrapped in sage leaves and bacon, so let's cut to Chef Tom on our patio as he starts up our fire.
I'm out on the patio outside of our teaching kitchen and getting ready to prepare our fire. We'll be cooking an all-wood fire today. I'll be building our fire on a flat-top charcoal grill, and as the coals burn down, I can shovel them over to the other side where we'll be cooking the steaks. I'm just gonna start by building a pyramid of wood, kinda like a big stack of Lincoln logs. And to help get us started, I'll put some lighter cubes underneath. The fastest way to get this fire going is with a torch. But while these logs burn down into coals, we're gonna prepare our tornados.
All right, and before we start preparing the tornados here, I want to talk a little bit about how you can mimic this technique at home with the grill you already have. Now, if you have a charcoal grill, you're already in a really good place. All you really need to do is start a wood fire and let it burn all the way down into coals and embers. Spread that out evenly, and then you have a good equivalent of what we're doing here.
Another great option for recreating this setup is just doing this in your fire pit in your backyard. I mean, if you've got a grill grate that you can throw over the top, you can do exactly what we're doing today.
Now, if the only thing you have at your disposal is a gas grill, you're going to have a little more difficult time putting some logs on there and starting a fire, which we do not recommend you doing. Instead, you're going to want to cook with really, really high heat on your gas grill, and you might be better off cooking the entire dish just in a cast iron pan. The reason that's a great option here is because that cast iron pan is going to absorb that heat and radiate it through its entire structure, and that will give you the same kind of nice, even infrared heat that you're going to get from a large bed of embers and coals. Now let's cut out to Chef Tom as he prepares our tornados.
So the recipe we're cooking today is out of Francis Mallmann's Seven Fires Cookbook. It's actually as much a technique book as a cookbook. But the specific recipe we're doing is for tornados wrapped in bacon and sage leaves. A tornados you may be more familiar with as filet mignon, as they both come from the beef tenderloin. From the whole tenderloin, I've cut 4 1-inch thick steaks. Now, I already have 4 slices of bacon that have been blanched so that they won't shrink so much when we cook. I'm gonna lay these out with some sage leaves on top of the bacon, and then I'll roll the bacon and the sage leaves around the steaks. When I get to the end, I've got a piece of butcher's twine already cut so I can tie this together. All right, and the only thing left to do before these go to the grill is hit them with a little bit of coarse salt, be it a kosher or sea salt, as well as some fresh cracked black pepper. Now our logs have burned down into a very nice coal bed, and I'm adding just some smaller chunks of wood to continue to build that coal bed. And soon we'll be able to scoop these over to the other side where we'll be grilling our tornados. Now that the flames are out and the coal bed is nice and big and super hot, I'm preheating a big cast iron skillet over the top. The first thing that we're gonna do is sear the bacon on the sides of the tornados. Every minute or two, as the bacon gets seared, I'm gonna rotate these about a quarter of the way, still standing upright, and continue to sear the bacon on all sides. All sides of the bacon are now seared, so what I wanna do to finish this is take them out of the pan, remove the pan from the heat, and we're gonna grill right over these hot coals, because the centers of our tornados are still very much raw. So once the meat is no longer stuck to the grate, once it releases itself, we can flip it over to begin and sear the other side. And as we achieve a nice sear on this other side, we're gonna begin monitoring the internal temperature, because we're only gonna cook these to about 125 degrees for a nice medium rare. I'm using an instant read thermometer to monitor the internal temperature of the steaks. And as soon as they hit 125 right in the center, I'm pulling them off the grill. And we'll give each steak about 3 minutes to rest, just to redistribute all of the juices in there before we cut off our string and we can serve these nice and warm.
Now, Chef Tom said something really important there at the end, and that was about resting the steak before we cut into it. So I want to turn it over to him and have him explain the reason we do that.
All right, so we've all seen what happens to a hamburger as soon as you put it on a grill. It plumps up in the middle, right? I mean, that's why we kind of press it down so it stays an even size. The reason it does that is because all of those juices and all that liquid inside of the meat is trying to get away from the heat. So the reason that we rest a piece of meat after cooking it is to achieve the exact opposite. We want all of the juices to redistribute evenly throughout that piece of meat.
And if you've ever cut into a piece of meat right after you take it off the grill, especially something like a steak that has fat and a lot of juice running through it, you'll notice a lot of juice on the cutting board or on your plate. Now, most of the time, there's really nothing wrong with that. You can soak that juice up each time you take a bite. But if you let that redistribute, you're going to let not only the liquid redistribute, but it's also redistributing that flavor. And it's something that will give you a more flavorful steak in the end if you give it just a few minutes. You don't need to go really more than 3 or 4 minutes. Certainly don't need to do 10 or 15, which I've seen some people suggest online. Don't let it go too long. If you go too long, what you're going to end up with is liquid that is redistributed, but a piece of cold steak, which is totally unenjoyable.
Hey, we hope you guys are really enjoying this podcast. And don't forget that you can find this recipe and all of the other ones we've done so far at kmuw.org.
And thank you guys so much for listening. Join us next time as Chef Tom and I tackle Germany's Oktoberfest.